Today we're looking at obviously the topic of fathers. We have to talk about fathers when it comes to Father's Day. And the best fatherly example we have in the Bible, of course, is God the Father. Now, the book of John is often a book that we instruct new believers to read. You know, when someone newly gets saved, we encourage them to read the book of John because it is quite a simple book. It's probably the easiest book of the Bible to understand. But just because it is the easiest book of the Bible to understand, you should not neglect it in your Bible reading. Like when you're going through the Bible, when you're trying to get good doctrine, you should not go, well, the book of John, that's for beginners. That's for, you know, that's for those that are, you know, have recently come to know Christ as Savior. But what you need to understand, especially one thing that you probably noticed there in John chapter 5, is how much Jesus Christ spoke of his Heavenly Father. Now, again, that might seem like a very basic doctrine to you. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in one God in three persons. And, you know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, they're all three individual, and yet there is one God that we worship. Some people have a hard time understanding that concept. And it is a deep doctrine. It is a doctrine that Jesus Christ himself came to this earth to reveal unto us. And the biggest teaching on the Trinity, especially the relationship between Father and Son, is found in the book of John. So I strongly encourage you, especially if you're having questions about the Trinity, go to the book of John. Okay, it'll really cement you. I'm not saying the Trinity is not found in the Old Testament scriptures. Of course it is. All the doctrines that you read in the New Testament are found in the Old Testament scriptures. But Jesus Christ came in the New Testament with clarity. He said he came to declare the name of his Father. He came to declare the relationship. And when it comes to family, one thing you need to understand is that family did not begin with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Family already existed within the nature of God, okay, Father and Son. Authority did not come into being when God created all things. Authority already existed from eternity in the relationship from Father to Son. And Jesus Christ many times says that the Father is greater than he because of his authority, okay? The Father has a different role with him as the Son. And then we obviously are familiar with scriptures where Christ came to this earth and said, not my will be done, but thy will be done, speaking of the Father. And of course, it was time for the Holy Spirit to, another comforter was to come. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to go and ask of the Father to send the comforter. And so we see that the direction, the instruction, all comes from the Heavenly Father. And within the nature of God, there is family. Within the nature of God, there is authority. And so when we want to understand family, especially if we want to understand what it means to be a parent, and especially a father, the best place to go is to see the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And so we're going to spend our time only in the book of John this morning. It's not going to be a very complicated sermon today. Pretty straightforward. But the title for the sermon this morning is Qualities Every Father Should Have. Qualities Every Father Should Have. And as I was creating this list, I recognized just even within myself, areas that I can improve as a father. And if you're a father today, please look at these qualities. Please ask yourself, do I meet this standard? You know, am I fulfilling this role as a father or am I not? And if you're not, hey, you need to fix that in your life. And you might say, well, maybe this message is just for fathers. I'm not a father yet. Hey, but if you're a man, you may very well become a father. It is God's will for us to eventually have a family and a home and all these things. So, hey, it's better that you learn these things now before fatherhood so you make less mistakes than others of us that have been fathers and made many mistakes on the journey. And if you're a wife, you might say, well, this is not for me. It's not Mother's Day or it's not whatever. Yeah, but you know what? If these are qualities that your husband ought to have toward his children, then as mothers and as wives, you should be there in support, encouraging your husband to have these qualities about themselves. Develop those qualities, not shoot him down when he tries to have these things. And children, you know, when it comes to children, you know, you may see faults in your fathers, and you will. You know, maybe little children don't see the faults just yet. But as you grow up and you become teenagers, you're going to start seeing the faults of your parents, and especially of your fathers. And when that happens, please don't think your dad is some hypocrite. Your dad's doing his best. He's trying his best, okay? And when you start seeing faults in your parents, that's the time for you to lay your eyes on your Heavenly Father who's got no faults. Okay, and just as much as your father makes mistakes, you're going to make mistakes in life. We all make mistakes in life, and that's why God and Christ came to give us such a perfect example to help us in our daily life. All right, we're in John chapter 5, look at verse number 19. Let's start with the first point there. John chapter 5, verse number 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, and what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Hey, what's one of the first things we see here with Christ speaking of his heavenly Father? He says, look, I'm just doing what I saw my Father do. Now, fathers, that's a very scary thought. When your children start to do the things that their father does. But brethren, the first point that I have for you, fathers are examples to follow. Fathers are examples to follow. How did Christ know what to do when he came to this earth? He observed his father. You know, as he saw his father bless the righteous, as he saw his father do great things and great works, you know, Christ saw that eternal heavenly example and he said, I'm going to do likewise. Fathers, we need to be examples that our children can follow. And it's not good enough to say, do what I say, but not what I do. It's wrong. I know that's the saying. It's a bit of a joke that's out there. But people do feel that way. Hey, kids, do what I say, not what I do. Look, the truth is, we know we're not perfect. We know we're going to mess up. But fathers, we should at the most try to be the best examples we can be toward our children. How can we tell our children to work hard if they see dad playing video games all day? You know, how can we tell our children, hey, learn and get an education and get some smarts if they don't see their father trying to educate themselves, you know, trying to better themselves in their intelligence or what have you? How can we say to our children, read your Bibles, and they don't see dad ever pick up the Bible? How can we say to our children, church is important, but then whenever else there's anything else that's in life, they're going to rather do that than go to the house of the Lord? You know, fathers, this is a scary thought that we are to be examples unto our children. And already, point number one, I already see failings in my life. I mean, I'm sure there are times that I'm great examples to my children, but there are other times when I'm not a good example. Like, there are other times that, you know, I'm not behaving like I ought to as a father. And the last thing I want is for my children to imitate what they see in me. At the same time, children, when you see failings in your parents, once again, what did I ask you to do? Remember that your parents aren't perfect. Your father is not perfect. Set your eyes on the Heavenly Father who is perfect, that does see all things. So fathers, we need to instruct our children. You know, if we want our children not to be worldly, not to be caught up in the world, not to be, to lust the things of this earth, then fathers, why are you lusting after the things of this earth? You know, this is all so important that we set an example for our children to follow. I remember, you know, many years, like when we first, my daughter Isabel, she was, 3 years old or something like that. She was very young. And we were watching the TV, you know, back then it was just TV with advertisements, you know, between programs and stuff like that. And, you know, I never really thought much about it. We were watching, I don't know what we were watching, TV was on. And then there was an advertisement and it was some, I don't know, some worldly song was on there. But, you know, like, I was so desensitized because, like, you just see so much wickedness in the world. You almost don't even realize when it's in your house. And then my daughter pulls me up and says, Dad, you know, you told me we shouldn't listen to this kind of music. Why is it on? And I'm like, oh, of course. You know, of course. And I think not long after, I actually got rid of the whole TV. Like, I just said, you know what? I don't want this in my house because I'm so desensitized and I don't realize that I'm actually setting a bad example to my children. Amen. But, you know, your kids pick up on it. And they pick up on it pretty young, you know. So parents, it's so important. Dads, fathers, this is the Father's Day message. Fathers, you are examples to follow. Please think about the example that you set forth before your children. Let's continue there in verse number 20, John 5, 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Now, we already talked about, you know, the Father was an example. It says here, once again, the Father is showing Christ, you know, all the things that he does. But I want you to notice the first part of that verse. For the Father loveth the Son. Did Christ have any doubt that his heavenly Father loved him? He had no doubts whatsoever, did he? He said, my Father loves me. The Father loveth the Son. Point number two, fathers. Fathers must show love to their children. Fathers, you must show love to your children. Now, this is the tricky one. Dads, I know how much you work. I know how hard you labor. I know what it's like, okay, when you're there Monday to Friday, all those hours, you work hard, all right, and you labor and you do it out of love for your family. You do it to provide. You do it to give them what they need. You do it so they can have food, they can have a roof over their heads, so they can have clothing, so they can have their education, so they can have some fun. Whatever it is, fathers, I know you do it out of love for your children. But sometimes, you're so tired from work, you know, and you've done it for your family. Don't get me wrong. You know, your love is there. That's why you're there. Otherwise, you wouldn't be at work. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing that job that causes you to suffer and get frustrated. But you come home and you're so tired and you say, look, I just need time out. I just need time for myself. Fathers, you need to make time for your children. You need to make time. You need to show them that you love. You think you've shown them. You say, but I've been out of work 8, 9, 10 hours, 12 hours a day out laboring for my family. Don't they know that I love them? But your kids don't understand that. Your kids, what they see, what they value is the time they spend with you. If you say, man, I'm working so hard for my family, you know, and you don't do anything with your children, they're not going to understand your love. You know, I know this example. A friend of mine told me of his uncle. His uncle worked, you know, he was an immigrant, came to Australia, worked hard, you know, 12, 14 hours a day. He did it for the love of his family. He bought the house. He bought investment properties. He had investment property after investment property after investment property. Worked hard, worked hard, worked hard, because he couldn't have these opportunities from the country that he came from. And he literally was worth millions, millions of dollars. Then he gets cancer and dies. And his children, you know, his children said, Dad never loved us. Dad never spent time with us. You know, the father had all these plans of the future. We're going to spend time together. We're going to go on holidays. We're going to be able to enjoy all this labor that I've, you know, worked hard for. He gets sick and he dies. Never was able to spend time with his children. His children just said, you know what? Dad never loved us. Dad never spent time with us. He never cared for us. And after dad perishes, there's millions of dollars. You go, wow, that's wonderful. Yeah, now the kids don't even talk to each other because they all had a fight as to who got what. You know, that's what money does, right? The love of money causes problems and divisions. You know, my heart goes out to that father who tried so hard to labor and to love his family, but he did not spend time with his children. You see, the children had doubts whether his father even loved them. And so they had no love even for one another because they did not have an example to follow from their dad. But when it comes to Christ, he says, for the Father loveth the Son. Christ never had any doubts that his Father loved him. You know, parents, you know, sometimes your children might say, Dad, Mom, sometimes I don't know if you love me. I don't think you love me, you know. And that's a serious thing. You shouldn't be like, oh, stupid kid, you know, of course I love you. Look how much I've done for you. Say, hold on, what part of our relationship has not developed very well? You know, where can I improve? How can I show you my love? You know, is it the way do I have to maybe tell you? Maybe I have to even write it in a letter. You know, write it in an email. Write it somehow so they can see that you have love. Spend time with them. Show them. Tell them how much you love them, how much you value them. Tell them what you will do for them. You know, if you had to even give of yourself to, you know, and give them the example of, hey, you know what? Yes, I've been away from the house these 10 hours a day, but I did it because I loved you. I did it, I labored and I to make sure you had everything you had to your availability so you could live a fulfilled life. So point number two, fathers must show love to their children. Look at verse number 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Jesus Christ says, man, I've seen my Father bring back the dead. He goes, then I also have the ability to quicken whom I will. To make alive, to bring alive, to essentially, of course, give everlasting life. What example do we have here? Again, Christ is doing what the Father's done. Point number three is fathers should teach their children how to preach the gospel. Fathers should teach their children how to preach the gospel. You know, we may say, we talk about these amazing miracles that we see in the Old Testament where the dead are raised by the hand of some prophet or, you know, Christ rose people from the dead or even the apostles after Christ rose some from the dead. You might see these wonderful miracles and go, man, that'd be so wonderful to see that. But brethren, every time you see a soul saved, you've given that person eternal life. You've quickened them from the dead. They were spiritually dead, and now they're spiritually alive, and their soul is on their way to heaven, not to the second death any longer. You can also bring back people from the dead by preaching the gospel to the lost, by giving them the opportunity to call upon the Lord for salvation. But I want you to notice how Christ said that he saw his Father do this, so then I'm going to do this too. So fathers, we should teach our children how to give the gospel, okay? You know, sometimes we think, oh, my child goes to church, they'll be fine. They'll learn the doctrines in the church. You know, believe it or not, even as a pastor, even as a father and a pastor, like my children can be in church and I can be preaching with my pastor's hat on and they won't understand it exactly the same as if I gave them the same doctrine at home as a dad. They don't see me, you know, when my kids are at church, they don't see me as Pastor Kevin. They just see me as dad. Like there's dad behind the pulpit waffling on again. I mean, they know it's the word of God. They value church, of course. You know, they've grown up in church and all of that. But I'm still dad, you know. And I've actually had to learn that, you know what, just preaching behind the pulpit is good for most. But when it comes to my kids, I need to go one-on-one with them and still give them good doctrine, sound doctrine. And parents, I strongly encourage you when you bring your children to church. Yes, they heard some doctrine. Yes, they're going to pick up certain truths. But how about you go home afterwards and cement the great truths that you've learned as well to your children? Dads, let's teach our kids how to go soul winning. You know, it's great to have fellowship with the brethren, take you know, someone from church and go soul winning with them. But I think you'll find something very special when you take one of your children with you and they see you give the gospel and they see you save a soul. That's something special. You know, as much as wonderful it has been to take each one of you guys soul winning, the best time soul winning was with my kids. You know, I remember that when I took my daughter first time and she saw her first soul saved and the tears were in her eyes and she, you know, she could see, wow, this works. You know, wow, this person gets it. This person was on their way to hell and now they have the confidence of Jesus Christ that they're going to heaven because of him. Amen. Fathers should teach the children how to preach the gospel. Let's go to the next verse, verse number 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but have committed all judgment unto the Son. So Christ is saying here that all men, everybody, is going to be judged by himself. So when we talk about the great white throne judgment that you read about in the book of Revelation, when those whose names are not found in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire, who is doing that judgment? Is it God the Father or God the Son? Is it God the Father? According to this verse?
God the Son.
God the Son. Right? According to this verse, what does it say again? For the Father judgeth no man, but have committed all judgment unto the Son. You see, the one who is judging us, at, well, not us because we're saved, but the one that is judging the unbelievers of the great white throne judgment is the Son. Yeah. It's Jesus Christ's Son. And as believers, we're also going to face the judgment. We're also going to go before the judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to be judged for our sins. We're not going to be judged for our iniquities. We're going to be judged for the works that we did for Christ. And when he judges us, he's going to reward us for what we've done. But Christ does the judgment. What's my point here? Pastor, we're not going to be the... Well, actually, the Bible says we're going to judge angels. So we're going to pass judgment as well. And, you know, in the millennium, the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with Christ. And so we're going to be passing judgment on the earth as well. But that's not so much my point. My point is here that the Father has allowed his Son to pass judgment. And my next point that I have here, point number four, is that fathers should guide their children how to pass judgment. Fathers should guide their children how to pass judgment. A lot of people don't understand what the word judgment mean. Judgment word is, right? It's like sometimes, even within Christendom, they'll say, don't judge. I don't know. But like the Bible's got a lot of judgment. Look, to judge, all it means is to make a decision. Amen. Like when you got up in the morning and decided to have breakfast, you made a judgment call. Am I going to have cornflakes? Am I going to have Cocoa Pops? Or am I going to have toast? Or am I going to have eggs? Right? Whatever it is, right? You made a judgment call. Look, all our life, I don't know what it was. I can't remember. I'm going to probably mess it up here. But I remember reading somewhere that we make something, I could be a bit wrong here, something like 6,000 decisions every day of our life. Okay? I'm going to wake up at this time. Okay? Am I going to brush my teeth now? Or am I going to brush my teeth later? Right? What time am I going to go? Am I going to avoid the traffic? There's traffic. You know, should I go this route or am I going to go that route? We are constantly passing judgments. And look, that's just our regular life, but there's also a time to pass judgment over what is right and what is wrong. Right? Because we're all going to face those decisions in time in life. Well, we're going to be faced with temptations, confusing times, and your children, and fathers, adults, you know, look, the world is confusing as it is. I mean, people don't even know if they're boys and girls anymore. That's how confused the world is. And our children are growing up in this world. They're going to be even more confused than we've ever have been. But you know what? God's given us His Bible. Okay? What's wonderful about being a Christian? We don't always have to decide what is right. We don't have to decide what is right and wrong. We say, okay, God, You told me what is right and wrong. Let me pass judgment according to Your way. And that's great as parents because we have to make those big calls. As fathers, especially as the head of your home, you need to make those big decisions and live or die by those decisions. But then we also have to teach our children. You know, children, you have to make decisions. You're not always going to have dad here. You know, we're going to pass away one day. You're going to have your own families. You're going to have your own adult lives. You're going to have to make your own decisions. You're going to have to face your own temptations when mom and dad aren't around. And you better make sure you know how to pass judgment. And so the best way to pass judgment is, of course, to open His Word, know what God says, know what God says is right and wrong, know what God says is holy and unholy, and just follow the commandments of God. Amen. But fathers, we need to teach our kids that. We need to teach them, you know? It's not just, oh, they heard Pastor Kevin. Teach them. Please don't make these mistakes that I see, you know, fathers make in church after church after church. And then the kids are out of church and they don't care about the things of God. And they're living their life without passing judgment according to how God directed them. And then parents are like, but I took them to church. I did everything right. And I see their brokenheartedness. And it makes me so sad when I see that happen. It's because parents did not teach their kids. They thought, like, I just take them to church and they'll be okay. It's wrong, dads. You teach them. Look at John chapter 5, verse number 30, please. John chapter 5, verse number 30. Christ says in verse number 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Now, we're sort of on the same, we are on the same topic here. As I hear, I judge. Guys, as we hear God's word, we judge. We make a decision because of here, what we hear. Not hear Pastor Kevin, hear God's word. Okay? Then that's how you judge. Christ has given us the example. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which have sent me. So we need to teach our children, in order for you to pass righteous judgment, you're not seeking your own will. Because your own will, you know your own will, you know it's selfish. You know your own will is many times fulfilling the lust of the flesh. You say, no, I'm going to pass judgment. You know, this decision, if I go this way, it's what I prefer. It's what I want. Maybe it's going to make me more wealthy following this path. But is it really the path that the Father wants me to follow? Is it my will or is it God's will? I can only pass righteous judgment if I know what God's word says. So that's what it means to pass judgment, guys. Not to pass according to our will. You know our will always seek our own will. It's not going to seek God's will. That's why Jesus Christ gave us the example, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. I mean, if Christ had to say those words, and we know that Christ is God, how much more do we have to say, Lord, not my will? Yep. You know, it's, man, I tell you, look, can I be honest with you? If it was my will, I would not be a pastor. I would not be pastoring two churches. It's not easy. Like, if it was my will, I'd just be continuing the job that I had in the past, earning good money, you know, if it was my will. You know, but there comes a time in life and you have to say, Lord, not my will. Lord, what's your will? What do you want, Lord? And that's not just big decisions. It's every decision in life. You know, everything, your fathers, where you're guiding your family into doing this or doing that, you need to be able to say, God, what is your will? Let me follow your will, not my will. So fathers should guide their children how to pass judgment. Look at verse number 36. John chapter 5, verse number 36. Christ says, but I have greater witness than that of John. Speaking of John the Baptist there. But he says, for the works, now I want you to notice this part. For the works which the Father have given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father have sent me. What does Jesus Christ say here? He says, the Father, Heavenly Father, gave me work to do. Fathers, teach your children to do the chores around the house. Teach your children to make their bed, okay? To fold their clothes, to clean up after themselves. I mean, they don't have to do absolutely everything, whatever it is, whatever your dynamics or your family works, however it works the best, okay? Put your dirty clothes in the laundry, you know, help mom around, you know, make sure when you prepare your breakfast, you put your breakfast away, you know, teach your children to work, but not just to work. It says, Jesus Christ says, for the works that the Father have given me to finish, to finish. Man, we have a problem. We start works. We start projects. We start hobbies. And you know we never finish. You know, it just sits there. And then your wife is like, are you going to get rid of that? Or are you going to finish that? Yeah, yeah, I'm going to finish that. But when? I don't know when. It'll get done. It's there. But man, we have this problem. We start a job and we don't finish it. We start a hobby. We start an idea. We start a plan. And we never get it done. It's bad habits. Bad habits. Now look, it's good that you're busy. It's good that you're trying to work and doing things with your hands. But look, the example or the teaching that Christ got is from his Father is you need to finish the work. And I'm so glad Christ finished his work. Amen. What did he say when he was on the cross? It is finished. He goes, I finished the work. I did it, you know. And look, if Christ did not finish the work, we are yet in our sins and on our way to hell. Okay? So this is the example that Christ says about his Father. His Father gave him work. Now, I'm not saying, fathers, you need to go and get your son a job. But I'm just trying to say, you need to teach your children a good work ethic. Don't let them just be lazy gamers. And I talk about gamers a lot because it is a problem. It's a problem. I'm also a gamer. Like, I grew up playing games. But the difference was, in my day, you could play for an hour and you'd be finished. Or you'd finish a level and you're done. Right? Or you play Street Fighter and you finish, you beat all the bad guys, Bison at the end, and you're finished. Right? The game's over. But today, the games go on. It's open world and it's this. And there's a new thing. And now your credit card, you know, you download this new map and new enemies and new characters and new level up. And it just goes on and on and on. And then kids are playing all night long. And that's their life. They've not learned how to work. Oh, I'm you know, what are you going to do when you grow up? I'm going to be a gamer. I'm going to be a professional gamer. No, look, we need to teach our kids to labor, to work. And I get out there in the backyard and mow the lawn and do this and do that. We've got to give them the chores and then make sure that they finish the work. Okay? And I think it's also good when your kids do finish the work that you reward them. Okay? Because we know when Christ finished his work and then he ascended up to be with the Father, the Lord gave him a place. He glorified his son and God caused him to sit at the right hand of the Father, you know, glorifying the son and gave him a name which is above every name. I mean, Jesus, the Lord God has done wonderful things for his son. And I think when we give our children work to do and they do well and they finish it, then fathers, we need to reward them. You know, thank you for being faithful. You know, let's go to, I was going to say McDonald's, but it's not good for you. You know, let's go somewhere that you like to go and, you know, let's just enjoy each other's company. And, you know, appreciate the work that you have done. But point number five, brethren, is fathers are to affirm the importance of completing work. Fathers are to affirm the importance of completing work. Like I said, dads, we start things and we don't finish it. But, hey, we saw earlier that we're to be fathers. Point number one was we're meant to be fathers that set examples for our children to follow. And if our children see especially our sons, see us start things and never finish things, they see us talk about plans and never accomplish those plans, we're not setting a good example of them completing their work. Look at John chapter 5, verse number 37. John chapter 5, verse number 37. There are two passages that I'm going to get you to turn to here. But look at John 5, 37. Christ says, as the Father himself, which have sent me, have borne witness of me. Christ says that the Father has witnessed of his Son. To witness is to testify or to proclaim of his Son. What do you think? What kind of words do you think the Father said of his Son? Do you think God the Father criticized his Son? Do you think God the Father went to the men of the earth and said, oh man, that Jesus, you know, doesn't get much done around the house? When the Father bore witness of his Son, well, it continues there, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, because no man has seen the Father. But the point that I have for you, brethren, is point number six here, is fathers should speak highly of their children. Fathers should speak highly of their children. And dads, right now you're going, but my children, they have problems and they, you know, they don't always do what I ask them to do, and they have these issues and they have these social problems. You know what? Everyone's got good and bad. Dads, you've got good and bad. Mums, you've got good and bad. Children, you've got good and bad. Pastors have good and bad. Are you going to only speak of the bad to your friends and to your co-workers and to family and friends? No, you should speak highly. You should speak well of your children, especially in public, especially to other people. Come with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse number 54. John chapter 8 and verse number 54. John chapter 8, verse number 54. John 8, 54. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. It is my Father that honoreth me." Parents, we have to be careful not to, what's the word I'm looking for? Humiliate our children, especially in front of other people. Look, everybody knows. Like when you speak well of your children, everybody knows, wow, you must be speaking well of them because you love them. But at the same time, they know, of course, your children aren't perfect. You don't have to tell everybody how unperfect your children are, or how unperfect your spouse is, all right? Or how unperfect your family is. You know what your children are going to love? Is when they do good things and you speak highly of what they've done. Let's say you've given them work to do, like we saw earlier, and they finish the work, and you go to church. "Hey, brother, how are you? How's the family? Oh, children doing well. Man, I gave them this project to do the other day and they got it done. They did it well." And your children overhear that. Oh, they love it. They feel honored. They feel like, man, I'm valued. My parents value me. And they want me to be seen in a good light toward other people. I've always hated going to work. And I've mentioned this many times in other sermons. I've hated it going to work, especially during school holidays, and hearing moms complain about their children. "Oh, the children are home. Oh, I can't wait for school to start again so I can get out of my hair." It's like, oh, it's so horrible. Like you nurtured this child in your womb for 9 months and you brought them into this world and you got to work in front of everybody and complain about your kids. But dads, we can do this. We can say stupid things that you don't even realize. You know, I've said stupid things that I don't even realize. You know, there are times that I've preached, even as a pastor, and to give some example of my life, I've said something like, "Oh, there was a time when one of my kids did this or that," and I didn't name them because I don't want to embarrass them. But then, afterwards, you know, my kids are like, "Oh, Dad's kind of embarrassing." I thought, you know what? You're right. I shouldn't be doing that. You know, I mean, I'll talk bad of myself plenty, okay? But I won't, you know, cause my children to be humiliated. I don't want to do it anymore. You know, I've made those mistakes. And then you hear about it, and you're like, you know what? You're right. I shouldn't do that. Because it's so easy. Because you don't mean to. It's not like you hate your kids. It's not like you're trying to humiliate them. All right? I mean, you do want them to be lifted up. You want people to see your children in a good light. Be careful about the words that come out of your mouth, fathers. Okay? Because, you know, your children are trying to please you. They want to be accepted by you. They want to know that you're pleased with them. But when they'll know that when you talk to other people, when you witness of them, whether you honor or you dishonor them, they'll hear that and it's going to affect their lives. You know, children who don't feel honored or accepted by their dads, growing up, they are constantly looking for that confirmation for the rest of their lives. For the rest of their lives. I've seen so many examples. People that do not grow up with dads, or the dads were so strict and so harsh, so critical, they're constantly looking for confirmation. They can be in their 40s, in their 50s, in their 60s, and they're still hoping that dad will accept them. You know, and sometimes they'll then look for other people. They'll look for pastors. You know, I've had times where people have come to me trying to see me as their dad, but I'm not their dad. But they just want to be accepted by a man. They just want someone to say, "You're doing well in life. Hey, you're okay. Keep serving the Lord. Yes, you've messed up, but hey, don't worry about the past. You've got the future to look forward to. Do good things. Do righteously according to God's will." And they're just seeking that confirmation. They're just seeking that assurance that they should have got from dad. But they feel that the dads have dishonored them. So fathers, please, point number six is speak highly of your children. It matters for the whole life. You know, it matters. Come with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, please. John chapter 10, verse number 15. John chapter 10. Now, some of these points, of course, will overlap. This one kind of overlaps with another one that I mentioned, but John 10, 15, Christ says, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Christ is saying here that the Father knows me. The Father knows that I would be willing to die for the sins of man. The Father knows that I would be willing to do that. And he says, and I also know my dad. That my dad would be willing to offer his only begotten son to die for the sins of the whole world. Okay? But it's not his death so much to lay down for his life for the sheep that I'm thinking about right now. Just the first part. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Point number seven is fathers should develop a close relationship. Okay? Fathers should develop a close relationship to their children. To the point where the father can say they know their children, and for the children to be able to say, I know my dad. Okay? Now, that's a pretty serious thing. Jesus Christ giving up his life for sinners. Okay? I mean, this is something that, of course, they would have known each other very, very deeply. They would have had a close connection, a close relationship. And this is where it overlaps with another point that I made about dad. Sometimes we work so hard. We work so hard for our families, and then we forget to spend time with our children. Or we work so hard at work, and then we just sit there, go home. We sit there on the computer looking at YouTube videos and Facebook, and we forget our kids. But you know what? The father spent time in relationship with his son. They can say about one another, I know them. You know, parents, how well do you know your children? You know, while they're young, it's easy to know them because, you know, they're not going to have very deep thoughts and they're usually just going to do what mum and dad want. But as they become teenagers and they develop into adults, they're going to have thoughts and ideas and challenges and questions. And you need to be available to help them on that journey as they mature and grow and develop mentally. Because if they don't know you, if they feel they can't speak to you, if they feel like they can't ask you questions, they're going to go to the world. They're going to ask the world questions. They're going to ask their friends questions. And brethren, their friends and the world are not going to give them biblical answers. They're not. The friends and the world's not going to ground. Hopefully they have good friends that are believers likewise, but many times they will find relationships elsewhere that will satisfy their desire of relationship. You know, and look, Jesus Christ says, I know my father. My father knows me. We spend time together. Fathers, we need to develop a close relationship with our children, you know. And look, and again, I told you guys, I love going soul winning with you. I do. But I'd much rather take my children soul winning. And I love going out to lunch with you. And I love going out and having coffee with you. And I love hanging out with you guys and having conversations and, you know, talking about the Bible and talking about life. I love it, but I love it even more when it's my children. Okay, because that's who God's given me. And that's who God has given you, to spend time to direct them. Say, man, I know them deeply and they know me deeply. And, you know, when you can talk to your children, then those are the times where you can actually share with your children, look, you know what, mom and dad have not always been perfect. You know, look, all right, you stuffed up in life, but, you know, there were times when I stuffed up. There were times when mum stuffed up, right? There were times that we made these mistakes, but you know what? We've put them behind us. We fixed the issues. And we, you know, hey, when we make these mistakes, we grow out, you know, we learn the lessons. You know, we say, look, we're not going to make those mistakes anymore. We ask God to help us and we push forward in life. Develop that walk, that closeness. And I think it's a beautiful thing when children are able to spend time with their parents, especially dad. Like I said, there is something within children that they want their approval from dad. And again, dad, if you don't give it to them, they're going to seek it elsewhere. They're going to seek it in some boyfriend. Okay, they're going to seek it elsewhere. They're not going to get it from their dad. So point number seven, fathers should develop a close relationship with their children. Come with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, please. John chapter 12 and verse number 49. Now this point is going to sound like a joke. And maybe it is funny, but it's not meant to be funny. Okay? Before we read it, you know, and I'm going back a few years now. I remember just hiring staff, like hiring young people straight out of school, straight out of high school. Now look, when someone finishes year 12, don't you have a certain level of, you have a certain expectation of their educational level? You go, look, they should be able to read and write. They should know how to do addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Right, maybe, okay, algebra and trigonometry and whatever, like, maybe we can just say, look, all right, you know, but at least. Because, you know, you don't learn that in year 12. You learn that in, like, year 7 and 8. By the time you have a year 7 education, you're pretty, if you've learned all that stuff, you should be pretty set for the world. You think. and then you hire people and then you're just asking them basic questions. You ask them to just write some basic things. You ask them to do some basic mathematics because that's what the job requires. Basic mathematics. And they can't do it. They can't communicate. They can't just work out simple problems because they've learned how to... This is how they type now. On their phones. And emojis and... Before, in my time, it was BRB, be right back, BRB. I don't think they do that anymore. LOL, laughing out loud. I don't think they do that anymore. But that was my time. Okay, but it's becoming even more complex. Now it's memes, right? Like, that's how children communicate. It's strange. But look what Christ says. And again, this is not... I only brought this because I'm seeing how our society is going down the toilet. Okay? And it says here in John 12, 49... Christ says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment." Now, let's stop for a moment. He goes, "He gave me a commandment." Okay, so what's this commandment that he gave you, Jesus? "What I should say and what I should speak." The Father commanded me how I should speak, what I should say. He says, "My dad commanded me how to communicate." Then he says in verse number 50, "And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." He goes, the Father told me to speak, to communicate specifically about life everlasting, everlasting life, and so I speak. Parents, dads especially, in 2023, point number 8, fathers, direct your children how to communicate. You have to teach them these days. They're not going to get it in school. Teach them how to say hello. Yeah, I'm not kidding. How to greet people. How to be polite. How to say please. How to say thank you. How to have a conversation. How to have an interest in other people and to ask questions about their lives. Our children are growing up in behind screens, and they only know how to communicate behind screens. It's true, you know. And then it's like, oh, your kids must be homeschooled because they're antisocial. All the kids are antisocial these days. Yeah. Nobody knows how to communicate anymore. Parents, we need to get back to some basics with our kids. Teach them how to communicate. Teach them how to talk. Teach them how to think about other people. Because in this social media world, it's all about me. I'm going to make a post and let's see how many likes I get. Yep. Let's see how many comments I get. And that makes me feel good. It's about me, me, me. But we know that God's way is others. Others first. We care about others. We want to give a thumbs up to others. We want to be able to ask questions to others. We want to show others that they're valued in our eyes. But all of that begins by communication. Sometimes as a pastor, I have to teach my church how to, and I'm not saying this because we have a first-time visitor. Okay? You guys do a good job. But sometimes I have to say, you know, we've got to greet our visitors. We've got to greet new people. Right? Someone walks off the street. Maybe they're not even saved. Right? Let's check if they're saved. There are churches, you know, you can walk into many churches across Sydney right now. Just a random visitor, random stranger. You can talk to everybody down the line, walk out of church after an hour, and no one's ever going to check whether you're saved. No one's ever going to ask you if you know your way to heaven. And you say, well, do you guys even care about me? But you know, I know this church, because I hear it, I hear stories, such and such has come to church, they heard the gospel, they got saved. Hey, praise God, but that should be all of us. We should know how to communicate, show people that we care. And of course, Christ came by the commandment of his Father, how to speak, what to speak. Hey, speak about everlasting life, tell people how to go to heaven, and that's what Christ prioritized. Last passage, come with me to, not the last passage, but the last point that I have about fathers. John 16, please. John 16, verse number 32. John 16, verse number 32. John 16, 32. Don't you love the relationship between God the Father, God the Son? Isn't that such a good example for us? I think it is. I think it's wonderful. And again, you know, some of you guys have grown up in broken homes, fatherless homes. You know, you don't even know your dad, maybe some of you guys. I don't know. And you're like, oh man, I really missed out. Okay, yes, you did miss out from an earthly perspective. But all these qualities are found in your Heavenly Father. Okay? So go to your Heavenly Father. You have need of Him. You need these qualities. You need a Father as the examples of this sermon this morning. Then go to your Heavenly Father. He's got all of these qualities in abundance. He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. But John 16, 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is. Let's stop for a moment. When Christ says the hour cometh, He's speaking about His crucifixion. Okay? He's about to face the biggest trouble, the biggest suffering anybody on this earth will ever face.
Amen.
Okay, arrested, beaten, spat upon, whipped, mocked, you know, crucified on the cross. And that's all physically taxing. But then He's also going to spiritually take on the sins, your sins and my sins, the sins of the whole world upon His body. That hour is coming. And then He says, yea, and is now come. It's just around the corner now. That ye shall be scattered, because we know that Christ was arrested, His disciples were all scattered. Every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Something else Christ suffered was loneliness, rejection. When He was arrested, everybody left Him. We know that Peter, one of His disciples, you know, denied Him three times. We know that He was betrayed by one of His other apostles. He says, look, you're all going to leave me alone. But then what He says is wonderful. And yet, I am not alone. Because the Father is with me. How good is that? So point number nine, fathers. Fathers should always be available for support. Fathers, you should always be available to support your children. Always. Okay, not just in good times, but also in bad times. Brethren, this is the worst time in the life of any man. This is the worst time for Jesus Christ. And He says, you know what? The Father is with me. You know, the Father's got my back. You know, even though I'm alone, my Father is going to be with me no matter what. And brethren, what's wonderful about having your Heavenly Father is even when the whole world rejects you, even when your own family rejects you, God the Father doesn't. He's always there for you. But fathers in this church, you should always be available for your children for support. Even after they get married. Even after they have their kids, even after they have their own lives. You know what? Your children are going to make good decisions in life. Praise them for that. And you know what? They're going to make bad decisions in life. You know what? Even when they make bad decisions and they give you a phone call and they say, Dad, I messed up. You go, you know what? Don't worry. All right? We all make mistakes. Don't worry. You're going to get through this. With God's help, you'll overcome this. I'm here. I'm praying for you. You know what? If there's anything I can do to help you, let me know. I've got your back, even if everybody else rejects you. That's a father. That's what a father should be like. Fathers should always be available for support. And I love Christ's confidence. The whole world can reject me. Even my own disciples. You're all going to be scattered. You're all going to leave me. You're all going to forsake me. But my Father won't. So those are the 9 points that I have for you this morning. Let me go through those 9 points once again. Fathers, point number one is fathers are examples to follow. Point number two, fathers must show love to their children. Point number three, fathers should teach their children how to preach the gospel. Point number four, fathers should guide their children how to pass judgment. Point number five is fathers are to affirm the importance of completing work. Point number six, fathers should speak highly of their children. Point number seven, fathers should develop a close relationship. Point number eight, fathers direct your children how to communicate. And point number nine, fathers should always be available for support. Now, if you're a father and you say, Pastor, I've messed up, man. Out of those 9 points, I'm like 5 out of 9. And I've got 4 that I'm failing in, you know. Well, hey, take it to God. Say, God the Father, help me be more like you. Help me to overcome my failings so I can be a better father moving forward. But in conclusion, come with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse number 29. John chapter 8, verse number 29. Because it's Father's Day. It's Father's Day, and if you're a child, in fact, you're all children. We all have mothers and fathers, don't we? But I want you to think about these verses. Let's make it easy on fathers. Let's make it easy for our fathers this Father's Day. John 8:29. Let's look at it on the other way now. We've seen what a father should be like. But if you're a child, if you have a father, this is how you should be in response. John chapter 8, verse number 29. Christ says, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Now look, if you're a child at home, let me encourage you, do the things that please your dad, that please mom and dad. It's going to be the best for you. In fact, it is the only commandment God gives little children. Honor your father and mother. Obey what they say, and God promises you a long and happy life. It's a promise from God. We can make it easy for our parents. Let's do things that will please our father. You know, even after I'm married, even after I have my own family, you know what? I still want to do things. I still want to do things that make my dad happy. You know, I still would like to put a smile on my father's face, even after I've got my own life. You know, we should be seeking to please our dads. And look, if you've got a bad relationship with your father, you know, and let's say he's not a complete reprobate or something, okay, but you've got a, you know, your relationship with your dad's not all there, and maybe even you have no desire to even speak to him, let me encourage you, it's Father's Day, just pick up the phone, you know, give your father a call, say, "Dad, not heard from, you know, you've probably not heard from me for a while, just want to say happy Father's Day, you know, thank you for being my father, and I appreciate every good thing you've done for me, even though they may have done bad things, but whatever good thing they've done, say, Dad, I appreciate the good things that you've done for me." That's it. You know what? That'll please your dad. And you know what? That'll please your heavenly father for you to do such a thing. And you know what? We should also do the things that please our heavenly father. That's going to help us in life. Do the things that please our heavenly father. One more passage. John 14, please. John 14, 31. John 14, 31. We saw that the father loved his son. But in John 14, 31, Christ says, "But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." Even as the Father gave me commandment. But he says, "That the world may know that I love the Father." You know what? Dads, like I said earlier, dads, you should speak highly of your children. But you know what? Children, you should speak highly of dads. You know, your dads do labor. Your dads work hard. Okay? That they, you know, again, they're out there working Monday to Friday, whatever their hours are, maybe even Saturdays, maybe even some Sundays to make ends meet. Again, they do it for you. You think they do it for the money. It's only money for you. So you can have what you need, okay? And instead of turning around and say, you know what, dad's never there, even though they should spend time with you, that's one of the things. Learn to appreciate the things they do for you, okay? And let the world know that you love your parents. Let others know that you love your father. You know what? That he's not just some deadbeat dad. You know what? He tried. Hey, maybe my dad wasn't even saved. Maybe my dad did not even know what the Bible contained. Maybe my dad's doesn't even know what the Heavenly Father. But you know what? With his limited knowledge, with his limited understanding, with the bad examples he had in his life, you know, he tried his best, and I love my dad for it. So, you know, mainly in conclusion, for those that have fathers, which is all of us, let's do those two things. Let us you know, please our fathers. Let's do the best we can to put a smile on their face. And let us also tell the world, let others know how much we appreciate what our fathers have done for us. Okay, let's pray.